Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show, and I am Brilliant Ideas, and hope everyone had a great Christmas. I can't believe it's over, and we're sneaking up on New Year's, and I survived. I hope everybody out there survived, and we do have some more technical difficulties this morning, as usual, but hey, it wouldn't be the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show unless we were having screw-ups on our technical side. I'm not sure if my sidekick, Aaron, will be joining us this morning. I think he's got some issues with his back this morning, and Aaron, if you're out there listening, hope you feel better. We are going to move forward real quickly here because we do have a big lineup of guests this morning, and we're going to start off with our one, our only, our New Jersey-style food news girl, Laurie. Good morning, Laurie. How is it out there in New Jersey?
Good morning. Actually, it's cold and damp, and they're saying snow, but I'm here.
Well, that's good. Did you have a good Christmas? Did it snow on Christmas? Did you have a white Christmas?
We actually had a little bit of snow on Christmas Eve. It was really nice. Just a little bit of a dusting and didn't mess up the traveling, so that was good. But it was pretty.
In San Diego, we don't get cold enough for snow, so we only had rain, dear.
Yeah.
Get it? That was a bad joke. Anyway, so you had a good Christmas?
That went over my head. Wait a minute. I'm trying
to. Yeah, I know this. I know this. So you had a good Christmas, huh?
Santa was wonderful to me. I must have been a good girl.
Well, that's good. That's good. So you got any
How about you? Did you get cold?
What'd you say?
Did you get cold?
Did I get cold? No, I have a warm heart, so I never get cold.
No.
So.
No, cold. Cole in your stocking.
Oh,
you were bad.
C-O-A-L. Oh, no, no. I'm a pretty good guy. Santa came to see me, and he gave me everything I desired, so I can't complain.
Oh, good. Glad to hear. Well, let me just send a little well wish to Hank Bob that he feels better with his back, and also a few of my good friends on Facebook are not feeling well, so feel better wishes to Marushka and Gina also. I know they're fighting a bit of a cold, so so I'm thinking of them.
Yeah, I'm fighting something myself, kind of like the down in the dump after Christmas feeling, but I think there's something going around. There must be a flu or something that's going around. It's got everybody kind of in the non-Christmas mood now. But, hey, New Year's is just around the corner. What are you going to do for New Year's?
Actually, I like to stay home. I'm a homebody, more or less, so I'm going to stay home and ring in the New Year quietly. But I am going to have bubbly, so when Brian comes on, I have to ask him some questions about that.
Yes, me too. I know about some bubbly. I have some bubbly questions, like what do you eat with your bubbly? What's the proper bubbly, condiment?
Oh, that's a good question. I didn't think about that. I was going to ask him some champagne ideas as far as maybe trying something different, what he would suggest. So
well, he'll be joining us probably in about, let's see, in about 20 minutes or so, he should be joining us. So let's go to the food news. And what kind of food news do you have for us today?
Well, I first want to talk about a wine that I had during the Christmas week. And it was a California wine. It was a 2011. It was delicious. And you will love this because it was a Petit Syrah.
I like Petit Syrah.
I know. It was called Pirano Estate. And I looked up the tasting notes, and I have to say I definitely agree with what they said about it. So I'll think first. And actually, it is a nice wine. It's not too I forget now if it was around 15. I think it was around $15. It's just a really lovely wine to bring to someone's home, whether it's for New Year's, a party, or just in general. So not too expensive. But it says, the senses are tempted by an array of black raspberry, spice, coffee, cola, cocoa, and white pepper. I don't remember the white pepper, but the rest of it I do. And it says, and it's really high quality for this one.
Yeah.
The palate is filled with ripe boysenberry, black raspberry, plum, and sweet black cherry, firm tannins with a hint of smoke and dark chocolate. And absolutely, it was a little on the smoky side, but the chocolates were coming through. Yeah, it was a yummy wine.
And when you tasted all those flavors?
I tasted a lot of the raspberries and the blackberries, and I tasted a little bit of spice, and maybe that's what the pepper is. I don't know. It was a little spicy. The coffee, yeah, I do. I actually did taste quite a bit of it.
Usually I taste it, but it tastes like fermented grapes. Let's drink some.
See, you probably just swallow, and what I do is I like to swirl it around in my mouth first and kind of think about what I'm having.
Don't even go there. Okay, what was the name of this wine?
It's called Pirano Estate. It's a 2011 California Petit Syrah. It's a pretty label. It's kind of like a maroon label with gold writing on it.
All right.
It also says that you will enjoy this wine with a nice grilled steak, baked potato, all the fixing, and good friends. So there you go.
There you go. All right.
Yeah. Cheers to that. Well, moving on.
What kind of food? And by the way, you know how you sometimes send me cheat notes?
Yes.
My system's not working properly. As a matter of fact, I had to limp on to get to the show. It's struggling again, so I do not have my cheat sheet. So if something fails here on the show today, I hope you have a lot of food news for us.
Oh gosh, I hope so. Actually, I was having problems on Facebook. It was weird on Facebook. I couldn't get people's photos to show up. When I clicked on it, blank. So, yeah,
well, I noticed last night when I post photos, they come on sideways.
Yes, I did notice.
Or maybe that's because I drank too much. I don't know which it is. But anyway, what kind of food news do you have?
Okay, it says the Hartman Group acknowledges that when it comes to food, 2012 may be remembered most for the demise of Hostess Brands, Inc. See, we need Hank Bob here because I know he loves this stuff.
I know.
And its iconic snack foods. But the year did bring about several other food trends. So I'm going to read a little article I thought was fun. It says, in its Food Culture 2012 Year in Review newsletter, the firm highlighted 12 of its favorite concepts. This year saw a tectonic shift in food culture from a cooking culture where everyone sat together from a home-cooked meal to an eating culture. Everyone is a participant in a new culture of cooking and eating and drinking. So, now the consumer lens has changed. We have become a culture where engaging in eating and drinking has become intentional. Intentional eating and drinking behavior is active involvement in food and beverage, and they are part of everyday life.
Well, Time out. When exactly do you eat and drink unintentionally?
I don't know.
I guess if you had an IV in your arm and you're laying somewhere and that would be unintentionally, but don't we all intentionally eat or drink?
It's a definition of who we are.
I guess. All right, go ahead.
Consumers also made their meals part of the conversation this year, whether with Facebook posts, so that's true, or through websites like Yelp. Eating has become a public affair, and consumers are sharing their food experiences. Well, I don't know about everybody else, but because I have like a bazillion friends, mostly chefs and foodies, that my homepage is covered with the most unbelievable food and desserts and wines. So I have to make sure I'm not hungry when I go onto my page.
And this is why our show is so popular. I really do. I believe some people who were never foodies before are becoming foodies. It is true. Everybody seems to be talking about food, and the food is the end thing. So, hey, maybe that's why our show has become popular.
Yep, that's true. Well, we all just love
it. Couldn't
so
be the it couldn't be the talent on the show, I'm sure. It's just because of the food.
It's just you, Brilliant. We all just attract people.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you a raise later. Go ahead.
Okay, good. In addition, how we eat as a culture is also changing, according to the Hartman Group. It says, eating alone, I agree with this part, eating alone is fast becoming the new normal. It's as normal as eating together.
That's because relationships aren't working out and you have to eat alone.
No. It's like the fast food when you're running in to grab something. You're on the road and you're by yourself, so you run in and you grab something, or you run into like a Quick Check and grab a cereal bar or something. I think that's what they're
thinking
about. No, we won't let you eat alone. Astute markets will want to shelve the image of a family gathered around a dinner table right next to other irrelevant relics of the past, like dusty encyclopedias and cassette tapes. I don't know about that, but the great American snackscape has also changed. The number of all-eating occasions that are snacking occasions has increased to 52% from 49%. See, we're all snacking. The numbers also show that consumers are eating an average of 2.35 snacks per day. And in addition, consumers increasingly believe that eating smaller meals more frequently is healthier than snacking, that bridges the gaps between meals due to long work and commute times. I just screwed that up and I got it. I'm sorry.
I think I eat 2.35 snacks per hour instead of per day.
Well, I'll tell you, my dad is the perfect example of this. He really does eat a little bit all day long, and his weight, he pretty much always stays the same. Like every hour and a half to 2 hours, he's eating something. So
that's how I do it, too. I've noticed, and it's not, I mean, I'm not eating junk food like I used to, but if you grab like a tangerine or an apple or whatever, something healthy, and eat it, you know, all day long, you're less hungry. You don't stuff yourself at dinner. Exactly.
And I agree with that. Sometimes if you're out all day and you didn't eat, you come home and you start, like, your refrigerator, you start eating everything in there. So you are better off. And I I try to snack a little bit.
Yeah, just pull open the refrigerator, pull up a chair and start munching out, right?
My sister Janie always says that. She's so funny. She's like, my perfect spot is sitting in front of the refrigerator with a chair and just eating from there. Anyway, here's another article that was to each his own, but it says, so hungry you could eat the wrapper. Believe this or not. I know. Yeah. Brazilian fast food joint launches edible burger packaging. I wish I could show a picture. They showed a picture of people biting into the wrapper. Like, oh, no. Doesn't do anything for me. The Brazilian burger chain Bob's launched a marketing campaign that allowed customers to bite right into the burgers without unwrapping them first. It says the edible packaging is a play on the chain's tagline, which claims that the burgers are so irresistible, you won't be able to control yourself.
Well, what's it made out of? Did it say? What's it say what the wrapper's made out of? What is the wrapper made out of?
Well, I'm going to read this because I'm not sure now. It just didn't look appetizing. I mean, people are eating paper. They show a picture of people biting into paper.
Oh, so add more fiber to your diet. So it must be made out of some kind of edible material.
maybe like a veggie wrap or something. I don't remember now. Let me see if it says here. It
oh,
says
so what you're saying?
Cheese.
What you're saying is you have not read the article that you're talking about yet. So this is all news. This is all food news to you too, huh?
No, I read it a while ago and I forget.
Oh, okay.
I have too much, literally speaking. I have too much on my plate these days.
Yeah, literally.
That's a joke. Okay. A fast food chain in Brazil took its marketing campaign a step further recently with edible packaging that invited consumers to bite into the burgers without having to unwrap them. Bob's Burger chain, oh, here it goes, used an edible paper wrap that allowed customers to tuck straight into their sandwich and bypass the pesky added step of having to unwrap their meal. Can you imagine being that hungry that you can't wait to unwrap the paper?
This is like, I know, it's like talking about lazy. I don't have time to pull the wrapper back to bite my burger. I'm just going to eat the wrapper and everything. I mean, talking about a fast food.
Can you picture the lady handing it to you from the window? You just, like, grab it real quick and start chomping on it? I mean, I don't get it. Well, it says the result is a curious sight that saw diners biting into paper bundle burgers during the one-day event. And the added bonus is little waste.
Well, I was going to say, why don't we just make the bag edible, too, so when you're done, you just, and the napkin, too. Wipe your face, just eat the bag, and no trash. I mean, it's just like, wow.
You know, I'm reading, it didn't say what it was made of, because I'm at the end. It says, Bob's is the country's first fast food chain, having been established in 1952 by American-Brazilian tennis champion Robert Falkenberg. That's all it said.
No, I'm in the packaging. I'm in the packaging business. I've seen that. They're edible papers. They're made out of corn products, and some of them are made out of, I think, like rice paper type thing.
Rice
so
paper.
They are edible, but come on. I guess
wouldn't
it's talking about recycling.
I know, but wouldn't it make it also add a little more blandness to the burger if you've got to go through, you know, that kind of, I don't know. Oh, well. You know what?
Just do copy paper that way too, and everything. So instead of going to lunch, just grab a bundle of copy paper and sit right at your desk. I think we're going way too far.
I know, but you know what? It is a good marketing stunt because I'll tell you, he's getting press for it, and we're talking about
it. Well.
So there you go.
There you go.
The case for drinking as much coffee as you like. This was good.
This is one of your stories. Are you talking coffee or coffee?
Coffee.
Okay.
Oh, that's the right word. You're the one who does. You have the accent. Do you drink a lot of coffee?
I drink coffee all the time. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting here drinking coffee and have been since 6 a.m. this morning and probably will till about noon. I pretty much, drink coffee nonstop.
Wow. I drink 2 cups a day. I drink the light. I don't drink the regular. I drink light coffee. I have enough energy as it is. I don't need any more to add to it.
Hey, before you go to the coffee story,
uh-huh.
We have a caller calling in, and it's from your neck of the woods. It's a 908 number, so that's from New Jersey,
Ooh.
Right?
Yes.
So let's see who's calling in. I have a feeling it's probably one of your relatives or something calling in. Let's see here. Press the button, Brilliant, and hopefully it will work. 1, 2, 3, 4. Good morning, Brilliant Ideas Radio. You're live on the air.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas to you and my cousin Lori.
It's Liz.
Hi.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I am good. I was listening to this rapper, this burger wrapper thing, and I had just read about this just in the other day. It was like a couple of days ago. They're using it in Brazil.
Yes,
you're
right.
That's where
that
was, in Brazil, yep.
Yeah, and
what's
it was, it's. I think it's made out of like a rice paper.
Okay, that's what I thought, because I've seen that in the packaging business. So, are you into that? Lizzie, is that your?
No.
Are you ready? Are you ready for edible wrappers?
No, the only edible wrapper on a burger would be bacon.
There
oh,
you go. Hey, now, I like the way
you
think.
I like
that's
that style.
The only, yep. That's the only way to go.
Hey,
absolutely.
Lizzie, do you have your coffee?
I already had my cup of coffee or cup of pot of coffee. I've been up since 1 a.m., I guess, East Coast. So, yeah, I've had my coffee.
Oh, Lizzie had surgery, so she's a little under the weather.
Well, I guess we don't want to get too personal, but was it serious surgery or everything okay?
Nothing serious. Just, you know what? You don't throw out your shoulder.
Don't throw out your shoulder, no. And obviously, don't throw out your burger wrappers either.
Yeah, well, again, if they were made from bacon, they wouldn't be.
Well, do you want to stay online? You want to stay online and listen to Laurie talk about coffee?
I just called up, so I wanted just to wish you a Merry Christmas. I'm sorry I didn't get to see you, Laurie, this year because I was kind of housebound. And Grill, I always look forward to listening to you on the air, and I will continue to listen to it after we hang up.
Well, thank you. You have a happy New Year, Liz, and we hope your shoulder gets better.
Thank you, and I hope you have a happy New Year as well.
Thank you.
Lizzie. Thanks for calling.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, go ahead. Talk about
Brilliant.
The coffee story. What?
I just looked out the window and it's snowing.
Oh, there you go.
It looks so pretty.
Ho, ho, ho.
And I don't have to go anywhere, so that's a good sign. I don't have to get in my car and
drive anywhere. You're supposed to get slammed up there. I saw the weather report. You've got two storms heading your way, so have fun. It's going to be 70 here today in San Diego, but you enjoy the snow.
Oh, thanks. Rub it in. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, go to your coffee story because we have Bryant on in next, and he's already in the wings.
Oh, good. I can't wait. Well, you know, it's kind of a long one, so maybe I should just kind of, let's see here.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Read away.
Okay. It says here, what I tell patients is, if you like coffee, go ahead and drink as much as you want and can, says Dr. Peter Martin. He's the director of the Institute for Coffee Studies. He's developed a metric for monitoring your dosage. And he says, if you have trouble sleeping, cut back on your last cup of coffee for the day. And from there, he says, if you drink that much, it's not going to do any harm, and it might actually help you a lot. So it says, officially, the American Medical Association recommends conservatively that moderate tea or coffee drinking likely has no negative effect on health as long as you live an otherwise healthy lifestyle. That is a lackluster endorsement in light of so much recent glowing research. Not only has most of coffee's ill effects been disproven, the most recent review fails to link it to the development of hypertension, but we have so much information about the benefits. And here we go. I'll just read a few of them. It says here, we believe they extend from preventing Alzheimer's. I heard that. I've heard that for a long time, believe it or not. It says also protecting the liver. What we know goes beyond small-scale studies. The past couple of years have seen findings that, taken together, suggest we should embrace coffee for reasons beyond the benefits of caffeine, and that we might go as far as to consider it as a nutrition.
Hmm. Well, there you go. See, I drink coffee until about noon, and then I switch over to iced tea the rest of the day. So I guess I'm drinking healthy drinks then.
Yeah. It actually says, truth is, coffee contains a whole lot of other stuff with biological benefits. It also might function as a pain reliever. So, and then it says here, only coffee.
It's a great marinade, too, for cooking.
I know. See, I've never tried it. I know you talk about that a lot, and one of these days I'll have to try that. How long do you marinate it for when you do that?
Depending upon when you remember to put it in and set it up in the refrigerator. So it can be anywhere from 20 minutes to 3 or 4 hours, depending upon if you remember to do it.
Well, it says, only coffee, not tea, was associated with reduced risks, mostly because of dramatic reductions observed in the serum triglyceride levels. So aside from caffeine, just what are you getting in your cup or two or six? Thousands of mostly understudied chemicals that contribute to flavor and aroma, including plant phenols, chlorogenic acids. What? I'm trying to read you.
I said easy for you to say. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And quinides, all of which function as antioxidants. So now I'll read the bottom. It says here, but drinking coffee and more of it does appear to be beneficial. The evidence remains overwhelmingly in coffee's favor. And
good.
Now I'm done. Yeah.
That's why I'm such a symbol of health, I guess, because I drink coffee and tea. That must be what it is.
Oh, one line here I almost missed, though. It did say, people who drank coffee lived longer than those who didn't, and the more they drank, the longer they lived.
Well, there you go. I'm going to live to be about 120.
Da-da-da-da!
That's it. All right, I'm gonna take a quick break here because I got to adjust something on my screen that's not working right. I'm going to play a song, and then we're going to bring on our new wine czar. That's his new name, by the way, Brian. And we're going to talk about bubbly for the holidays and whatever else he wants to talk about. I'm going to take a brief break. I'm going to play, let's see, a good song to play right now would be Speak Your Mind because it has something about drinking. And you gonna stay with us, Laurie?
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to talk to Brian.
All right. Well, hang on. We're going to take about a 2.5-minute break, and we'll be bringing on Brian Faratow. We'll be talking about bubbly. Everybody hang tight. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes. Now press the button. Brilliant. Here we go.
Speak your mind, but not while you're drinking. Liable to say just what you're thinking. Keep the peace. Just get along. You might be right, but it could go so wrong. Now bite your tongue, but don't say nothing. Don't dare push that button. Liquor's talking, but you said it. Open your mouth and you're gonna regret it. Now me and my gal went out the other night. I started drinking, hell, I got tight. That's when she asked me what I thought about her mother. I opened my mouth and, oh, brother, mind, but not while you're drinking. Liable to say just what you're thinking. Keep the peace and just get along. You might be right, but it could go so wrong. Now,
No, please don't.
No, please don't.
Hey, Brian, how's your holiday been so far?
It's been great. Work, play. You know, that's the nature of the beast in my business.
So to do more play than work. So do you have any great ideas for the holidays when it comes to wine and bubbly?
To wine and bubbly, let me see. Well, what are you going to have New Year's Eve? Besides that cheap $1 wine, you know.
Well, you're asking the wrong person because you know I get that $1.99 big Kahuna wine, but I actually have some bubbly too. That famous almond champagne we talked about last time you were on.
I actually researched it and I looked it up and I think I sent something to Laurie about it. I was a little surprised. I knew nothing about it before. But I was very surprised to find out about it. Now, what are you eating New Year's Eve?
I haven't decided yet. Go ahead. What are you eating, Laura?
I'm going to have shrimp and I think scallops. I like fish, so I think I'll have something because it's kind of late at night. You know, I'll have a late dinner, so I like something a little lighter. So I would have fish. But
okay.
me, Brian, I always have red wine. So what would you suggest, like a Pinot?
And you know, in my book, that's okay. I never tell people to drink something that they don't like. I would go light side. I would go Pinot. If you've got a good shop in your neighborhood that has some nice, not the Beaujolais Nouveau, because now it's as far as I'm concerned, it's too late to drink a Beaujolais Nouveau. They'll hold up, but they're a little too light and too bubblegummy. But if you go in and ask them for a nice cru Beaujolais, that might be nice. If they have some lighter Italian selections, like from Piemonte, Dolcetto, or Rucche, or even a nice young Barbera would work.
Oh, I love that. I love the Barberas.
Brian, I can't even say the words. How can I go in the shop and ask for it?
Well, I'll send you an email later. You can write it down. Just hand them the piece of paper.
Yes, exactly. Hand them the piece of paper.
I'd like to have a bottle of this.
Yeah. And they'll look at you. Well, the kind of shops you shop in, they probably look at you and say some words that I'm not allowed to say on the air and kick you out.
Yeah. Probably.
You might want to make sure that you are wearing sunglasses when you go in.
Yes, I will. Well, that's why I do wear sunglasses. Figure that out. Yeah, I don't want anybody to know who I am.
No, but what kind of bubbles do you like? Besides the ones in your bathtub.
I was getting ready to say that, Mr. Bubble. Are you asking me or are you asking me or Laurie?
I'm asking you both.
I know you're gonna have
someone that's gonna talk about bubbles and cheese, so I don't wanna step on there, you know. On their toes about, you know, bubbles and cheese, or I can certainly hang on the line and we can talk together about it. But what kind of things do you like to eat for New Year's Eve? Now, Laurie said she's gonna have seafood of some sort, or fish, and you know we talked about a red wine, but certainly you know there are bubbles that you can have. I like to not necessarily go for champagne. Not that I don't like champagne, but it's, you know, in this economy, it's expensive. There are so many great, you know, sparkling wines out there that are great alternatives to champagne. In France, some of my favorite sparkling wines actually come from Loire. And anything that's not called champagne would be called a Cremant. Now, in Loire, you'd have a Cremant made from a base of Chenin Blanc, you know, with some Chardonnay or maybe even some Sauvignon Blanc in it. But they are wonderful wines. In Burgundy, they make sparkling wines, and, you know, in Bordeaux, they make sparkling wines. They make sparkling wines all over France that are not champagnes. Italy, we have Prosecco. Of course, we know Prosecco. But if you want to get as close as you possibly can to champagne, you can go to a region called Lombardia.
With the big word.
Just tell them you want Lombardy.
Yes, guys.
All right. And yes, the word is going to be hard to pronounce. It's called Franciacorta, and it's a sparkling white that is made exactly like champagne. It would be what they would call a Blanc de Blanc. Blanc de Blanc meaning a white wine from a white grape, as opposed to Blanc de Noir would be a white wine from a red grape. And so made in the classic champagne method where they do secondary fermentation in the bottle, smells very much like champagne. I remember once describing Franciacorta as smelling like a really well-aged white Burgundy, which is a Chardonnay wine. And then you have wonderful
like
sparkling...
I'm sorry, Brian, what would something like that... I know there's all different ranges of price, but what would something like that run you if you bought a champagne like that from that region?
All right. Now, you can – well, if you go to your superstores, you can buy things like Veuve Clicquot, you know, for like $35. And I would say that Franciacorta would start a little under there and then, you know, move up above the Veuve Clicquot. But Veuve Clicquot is so, you know, is just so popular and – if you're going for champagne, I would rather go with small, what they call growers product, where the actual grape growers themselves reserve a little bit of their own harvest and make their own champagnes. They're a little less expensive and wonderful, wonderful wines. You know, but they don't carry huge names, so they don't carry the price tag.
Hey, Brian.
Now, yes, sir.
I just decided what I'm going to have for New Year's. And
okay.
You're going to probably
wine pairing to spam. I'm sorry.
Well, wait. Now you're probably going to call me a blankety blank when I ask you this. But
blankety blank.
Okay, you're the wine czar, right?
Yeah, I try to be.
All right, wines are. If I make chili with beans, what's a good bubbly with that? Well, actually, there will be bubbly afterwards, but what would be a good bubbly with chili and beans?
Okay, I mean, don't laugh because I will give you one. It won't be a white bubbly. It'll be a red sparkling, and it'll be a little bit sweet. You want something to counteract that spice.
Right. That's a skill.
So definitely I would go with a sweeter wine. Now, in the northern part of Italy, in the Piedmont, they have a wine called Brachetto. And Brachetto is the grape, but it's not a sickly sweet wine. It's a wine that has a beautiful perfumey nose, like rose petals and bright flowers, bright grapes aromas to it. And it has just enough sweetness on the palate and then finishes a little bit dry. But I think it's perfect to counterbalance the spiciness of a chili.
Okay.
You can also go with another wine called Malvasia, which in Italy, in that same region, basically a similar sensation where, you know, you kind of have a little bit sweet and you have a little bit of tart on the finish. Or you can go with Lambrusco. And Lambrusco is perfect. You can go either sweet or dry with a Lambrusco because it'll serve as a nice palate cleanser. I mean, you want to definitely cleanse the palate, but I would want that little bit of sugar to counterbalance the spice.
Great.
Well,
after the show,
you need to put all these fancy words on the Facebook page And so everybody knows what to look for, because I have no clue what half the stuff you said or how to spell it. So put it on the Facebook page, and so everybody knows what they should go for New Year's. And I got to take a quick break here. And do you want to stick around? We're going to be talking cheese with the Cheese Whiz lady, Tonda, in about 3 minutes. And maybe you listen in, and she'll talk about cheese. You guys can talk about bubbly, and we can have a grand old time. Laurie, do you want to stick around?
Absolutely. I'm here.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a brief break here, and we'll be bringing on Tonda to talk about cheese, and we'll be talking about wine and bubbly for New Year's. Everybody hang tight, and you guys are all going to laugh when you hear the song I picked for the next break. But everybody will be right back after the song. $9.97 a bottle now, but
yeah,
we're
thinking
back.
That's way over your price point.
We are back with Laurie, our food news girl. We have the wine czar, Brian, and if everything's working right, this is the first time I've done this. I've had so many people on the line at the same time. We should have Tonda, I'll call her the Cheese Whiz. Tonda, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Well, good afternoon, because it is a little bit later in the day over here in sunny Florida.
That's right.
Sunny Florida. I'm doing well, though. How are you? How is everybody? Greetings and salutations.
Greetings. Hi.
Hi. Well, you're in sunny Florida, and I'm in snowy Jersey.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, I'll tell you, we're getting a massive cold front, and it's close
and
to 24
And I'm right in between. Ooh, a sandwich.
Huh?
All right, now
I'm
right
in between, Virginia.
Kids,
the sandwich.
We have to talk. Kids, we have to talk one at a time. Brian, you have to wait your turn.
I never wait my turn.
So, Tonda, you're the Cheese Whiz. We were just talking about bubbly and champagne and sparkling wines, and you came on board, and, of course, cheese goes well with all that stuff, and so what are your recommendations for the New Year's?
Well, I actually have got quite a few. And, you know, I did happen to catch a little bit of what you guys were talking about and the brichetto. And that's such a fantastic way to
you know, introduce somebody to sparkling wine who doesn't really typically like champagne because of the dryness factor, because it's so, you know, crisp, and to be able to, and there's, you know, people that don't really like red wines either, and then all of a sudden here they have a sweeter sparkling red wine, and you know, they're just kind of baffled, and it really is, it's always such a beautiful way to kind of introduce people. But if you're going to go with your traditional champagne, of course, you know, when we talk about champagne, of course, we're talking about the real stuff, the stuff from France. It's got to come from Champagne. It's going to have that champagne name. And of course, that's a wonderful way to ring in the new year. There's wonderful high-dollar champagnes, of course, that you can get across the board. But if you want something not so high on the budget, there are much more moderate champagnes that you can even find for like $30, $40 a bottle. And then, of course, if that is still not really where you want to be for a party that you're supplying so many people with, you know, toast, then of course the Prosecco and a Cava and other variations of, you know, the Method Champenois that would very well suffice. And that Brut style, really crisp, sparkling wine goes fantastic with triple creams, camemberts, even like, you know, a traditional brie. If you get a really good quality one here in the States, it's a little bit more difficult because we pasteurize our milk, and the recipe in France actually is raw milk. At that young of an age of cheese, we just don't allow it in our country. But there is a great camembert from the Hudson Valley area in New York, and it's called Old Chatham Sheep Herding Company, and it's Nancy's Camembert. And she's done a fantastic job at replicating those flavors by still, you know, using the pasteurized milk. It's probably one of the more true styles of Camembert that we have here in the States. It really, really is good. And that would be kind of more of a double cream. Yes.
I had recently for the holidays a cheese that was made with whiskey. Have you had any of those type cheeses?
Yes, I have. I think that you're talking about, it's an Irish cheese made with, it's like a cheddar, like an Irish cheddar made with whiskey. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty strong, too.
Yes.
If I recall. Yeah. Yes. I have had those. And there's the same company also makes a porter beer-infused cheddar as well, which is one of my favorites. It's got the nice mocha, chocolatey kind of notes, and, man, it really is good.
Yes, I had over the holidays, and it was good, and I don't know if I really – the alcohol, of course, I think really did. There's no alcohol in the cheese, I don't believe, once it's gone through its process, but it was good stuff.
Right, absolutely. Before I forget,
I want to make sure that I mention your website, because we had problems trying to get the link set up for the show, and I didn't get your website on there. So make sure you mention your – what's your website address?
It is TondasKitchen.com, and my name is spelled T-O-N-D-A, just like it sounds. At TondasKitchen.com. You can email me if you ever have any, you know, kind of questions, what to serve, what can I find, what would pair nicely. That's definitely one of my things and something I enjoy doing, and I get phone calls and emails all the time. I do have a couple of different pairing suggestions on my website right now, and I kind of change them out seasonally along different recipes for, you know, holiday dishes and whatnot.
Hey, Laurie.
You
still there?
I'm here.
So you've got the wine czar, you got the head cheese. You have any questions any questions about wine and cheese that you might want to ask?
Well, I was curious when she mentioned the port cheese. I haven't had that in years, but obviously I guess it would go nice with a nice port. Would you pair it with the port cheese?
Well, actually, No, it was a porter. Is that the one I was talking about? Is actually porter, like a porter beer. So like a stout of a porter, and that was actually what I was talking about. There is a port infused cheese.
Yes.
It's really kind of mild. It doesn't really have like massive sweet raisiny kind of notes that you would think of being infused with a port. But the porter beer. But it's made by the Cahill family in Ireland, and that cheese, it's like a brown marble. Oh, man, it is so good.
Really?
And I paired it with Merlot, Washington State Merlot, something that brings out those chocolatey notes.
Some of my favorites.
Yeah.
Oh, now you're talking.
So good. And then I've also paired it, too, with a sweeter kind of, like, we have here a local beer. It's a toasted coconut porter. But then there's also like the vanilla porter that's out there too. And, you know, just something that adds a little bit of a sweetness really brings out those notes in that particular cheese because the cheese is a little bitter, sharp and bitter. So you don't want like an old Rasputin because then that would just, it would be too bitter. But that's on the porter.
Now, hey, Wine Czar, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Now we let you play. You have any questions to the head cheese whiz?
No, I think I would concur with her suggestions. You know, the first things I think about with sparkling and you know, and cheese would be double cremes, triple cremes. You know, the Schambazola from Germany. You can go with. Things like in Italy, Robbiola and Taleggio.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking also if you wanted to have something that's got a, you know, got a softer, creamier, high-fat content inside, you know, but a little bit more rank, like a Blue or a Stilton or, a, you know, or mm-hmm. Gorgonzola, is you go with those like I had suggested for the chili. You go with something red and a little sweet,
or
you know,
a
like a Lambrusco.
Yeah.
Or a Moscato.
Oh,
yeah, Moscato.
Moscato.
Yeah, they can go with Moscato perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I
love Moscato.
I actually have a smoky blue right now from Rogue, and I've done that before with a Dornfelder, or I've done that with a really kind of jammy Zin, but it would also go really well with the Brichetto. Just with the smokiness of that blue, you kind of want something a little bit, something that kind of adds to that, like that Zin, you know, will just kind of pick up some of those smokier notes. But any other type of regular blue, Stilton, Gorgonzola, anything like that, I've always paired just phenomenally with a Moscato d'Asti or something like that that would really just give the honey notes that you're looking for. You know, with the cheese as strong and pungent and sharp as that is, you need something to pair on the opposite end of that that's equally as intense. So honey, great pairing. You know, so you do something like a Moscato d'Asti. Honestly, the little tiny little bubbles, the effervescence just lifts everything right off your tongue, and man, it just kind of cleanses everything, almost brings you back to a neutral point.
Yeah, that would
really
be good. That would be my point, would be that it would serve as a palate cleanser. Now, if you want that same sensation as a Moscato and you want a little bit more bubble to cleanse the palate, then you just go with an Asti, you know, which would be a full spumante bubble but a little less sweet. So a little higher alcohol, a little less sugar, but certainly would serve as a good palate cleanser.
So I have a question. I have a question. If you can probably hear in the background, I have dogs barking. But why do dogs like cheese so much?
Dogs like everything. They like everything. You know, they'll pretty much eat anything, with the exception, I think, of grapes.
So what type of cheese? What type of cheese should I serve them to make them shut up right now?
I would any time that you're cleaning off your cheeses and you're
you know, kind of cutting down, like any time I wrap a cheese, you know, when I take it back out, I always slice that first piece off, and that's what I give to my pup. And you know, just anything that might be on the harder end. You know, dogs sometimes are too great with all the extra lactose too. You know, I mean, their stomachs are not really you know, set up for that kind of digestion, you know, so, and they're not used to it. So I definitely wouldn't hand my dog any kind of triple cream or anything like that, or Humboldt Fog or anything. But some of the harder cheeses, the cheddars, you know, certainly anything that you're cleaning up, I give him scraps. That's how I get him to take his medicine.
All right. Well, I'm getting ready to go kill one right now who won't shut up. But you guys had any more questions? I'm gonna put my mic on mute. You guys can talk amongst yourself. Laura, do you have any more questions about cheese and wine while I go shoot a dog?
I'm going to shoot the dog.
I'm
going to shoot the dog.
I'm just going to go hang a meat. It shouldn't be too far to shoot.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. Conda, we appreciate you coming on the show. Brian, we appreciate you
thank
coming
you.
On the show. And also, Laurie, thank you for your food news. I'm going to take the dogs out and everybody have a happy new year, and everybody
you
check out Conda's website. Finally, Brian, do you have a website?
No, I don't believe in that stuff.
You need one.
Yeah,
everybody,
you need one.
The Stone Age.
And,
in the Stone Age.
Conda, if you get a chance, post all your ideas on our website, on Great Ideas on Facebook today, if you get a chance, post there.
Refer
everybody there. And everybody have a happy new year. I'm going
to
take a break.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And our next guest is Autumn Sky, and I'm going to play one of her songs as we go to break. It's called I Light a Fire. Everybody hang tight. We'll be back with our next guest, Autumn Sky. We'll be right back.
Happy New Year.
Happy New
Year.
In my head,
Autumn Sky, her song I Light a Fire. And Autumn is our next guest coming up here. And if everything is back in order, I fed the dog some cheese. I made him shut up. And I think we should have Autumn Sky here. Come on. Please work. Autumn, hang on. We're still having some technical difficulties. I'm trying to get you all live here. Give me 1 second, and it's not cooperating. All right, well, hang on 1 second, folks. As usual, good old Blog Talk Radio is not cooperating. Let's see here. Let's press this button, slide this over, and Autumn, are you there?
Hi, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Sorry, we're having some technical difficulties, but that's what we what's happened every Saturday morning on this show. But welcome to the show, and I just played your song. I assume you heard it and love the song, love the music, and welcome to Green Ideas Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
First of all, Happy New Year. It's almost here, and did you enjoy the Christmas holiday?
Yeah, I did. I had the best Christmas ever. How about you?
I couldn't ask for a better Christmas. It was a great Christmas. Santa brought me everything that I desired. So, hey, I got no complaints.
Yay. Aww.
So tell us about Autumn Sky. I apologize. Our link to the show, we were unable to get anybody's websites and links to the show. So the first thing I need to ask you before we get into a little conversation about you and your music, what's your website that people can find out more about you and find your music?
Well, thank you, first of all, because that's kind of a big point. They can find me on Facebook. I'm facebook.com/autumnskymusic.
Okay.
I do have an album that's for sale that's going to be on iTunes under Autumn Sky. It's called All Which Isn't Singing. And I have a single out now called I Light a Fire. I believe that's the one you guys just played.
Yes, that's the one we just played.
That's my newest song. All the last songs were from probably about 7 years ago. But the newest one, that's for sale up on iTunes, just a little single by itself, which is
okay.
Only a dollar, a much more handleable free fee, I think.
Yes.
And I'm pretty much on everything else. If you just Google Autumn Sky, and then I've got my MySpace, and I have my Tumblr, and I have my Reverb Nation. I've got like 15 websites right now. It's really bad, actually.
Well, I have to ask the very first obvious question. Autumn Sky, is that your real name?
Yeah.
How did you get the name Autumn Sky? It's really pretty.
Really young. And she had obviously gone through like a poetic phase. Sky is my middle name, actually. My real last name is Hall, H-A-L-L.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Autumn Sky, it's a very pretty name, and of course, even though it's wintertime, we're close enough. December 21st was not too far long ago, but when I saw Autumn Sky, so what a nice name. And I noticed on Facebook, you have quite a few followers on your Facebook page, and you've been singing for quite a while now. Kind of tell us how you got into the music business and how long you've been singing.
I've been singing for about 8 years. I've been doing this project specifically for 8 years. I've been musical pretty much my entire life. I was writing, but mostly like I wrote songs when I was younger. I was homeschooled and I had a lot of time to devote to stuff that I really liked doing. And so my parents encouraged me to be writing a lot of songs because that's just what I did naturally when I was small. I really decided to start pursuing music on a more professional full-time level when I was 17. I was going to community college for fashion, actually, and I hate the class. I love the art behind it, and I really like drawing clothes. That's really fun. But the people were not nice. They were not nice to each other. They weren't mean to me, but they would pick on, like girls that would come in with sweatshirts. They would, like, roll their eyes at or make, like, little snotty remarks. And then by the end of the semester, I hated it. And I did, like, I thought I wanted that to be my major, but I was sitting outside of that class and just hating life that I was going to have to go for another day. And down the hallway, there are all these kids, and they had, like, water balloons and squirt guns. and they were yelling super obnoxiously and throwing all these water balloons at each other. And I was like, who are they? And some girl was like, ugh, that's the music department. And I was like, I want to go with them. So I switched my major, and I've never switched it back.
Well, good for you. Now, you're in Northern California, right?
Yeah, I am. I'm from Sacramento. I've been here consecutively for about the last 10 years, yeah.
Okay. And do you play concerts up there, festivals, fairs? What kind of bars? What kind of musical jobs do you have up in Northern California? Everything?
My personal claim to fame for myself is that I've played at every venue in Sacramento. I did the solo singer-songwriter thing for a little bit, but in all honesty, like when you start playing with a band, it opens up, well, first of all, performances can be a lot more fun, and your music sounds bigger, and to me it sounds better. So you just like, you never really want to go back. So I played all the little things I was doing, solo stuff, and now that I'm with a band, I definitely try and pinch out and, you know, play the bigger venues, and yeah, definitely festivals and fairs.
Let's play another one of your songs. Now, the song I'm going to play next is called More Than Words Can Tell. So I assume you wrote this song, right?
I wrote this song, and I picked this song because you will never hear this on a website, and you'll never hear it as a single. This is really, really deep back in the files. But I just recently started talking with, actually, it's funny, a couple kids from New Jersey. I've been talking to them over the internet, and the song keeps coming up. It's funny, like I never really even liked it when I put it out because it was so different from the rest of everything that I wrote. But now
right.
It's kind of like, now it sounds more like what I write nowadays.
Well, I have to admit, it's kind of a dark song. What's the story behind it?
You know, it's one of the only songs autobiographically about me, but it is a true story about a friend of mine that I was in school with. She was engaged to one of our friends, and he basically cheated on her, and she wrote like pages and pages of poetry, and she asked if I would turn them into a song. So I just took some pieces from what she had given me and wrote my own poem or song about it, and then just kind of felt out like how that would be on the piano, and that song kind of just happened.
Well, I really like it. It's an interesting song. We're going to play that next, and it's a little bit of a long song. It's about 5 minutes. Everybody hang tight, listen in. It's got some great words, and we'll be back to talk to Autumn after we play More Than Words Can Tell.
Thank you. So cold, I
And that was Autumn Sky, More Than Words Can Tell. We're talking with Autumn on the phone here this morning, and a very interesting song. I like it. It's got some interesting words and kind of dark, but like you said, you wouldn't hear that played very often, but good stuff.
Thank you.
What are your plans from this point forward? You're coming out with, so you got the new single and you've got a new CD. What are your future plans beyond 2013?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. We actually have a pretty big show coming up on January 11th. We're playing at Harlow's Nightclub and Restaurant in Sacramento. Have you ever been there?
Nope, never been there.
No, really great venue. Probably one of the best ones in Sacramento that we have so far. It's definitely the one that people go to when they're touring through, and bigger headlining names. So we're very excited to be, be able to play on that stage. We're going to play with Musical Cherish, just a phenomenal local Northern California band from the area, and also Foxtails Brigade from San Francisco, Anton is one of the guys in the band, and he is the session violin player for Bright Eyes on occasion, and he...
Okay.
We're very, very excited to have all those people come together on the same stage. I think it's going to be a great show.
Great. Now, this is a food show, so I have to ask you, are you a foodie, or do you do anything baking or grilling or anything like that?
I do. Actually, I do. I grew up in a vegan, sometimes vegetarian household for most of my life.
Okay.
And like we always have gardens and stuff like that. So I eat meat now, but I've always been really interested in cooking. I was in a culinary arts class through high school, so it's definitely something that I love to do. I like making bread, although it's a really long process. I made bread for fun once, and it ended up taking like 5 hours.
Wow.
By the end of the day, I was so exhausted, and it was. I don't know what recipe I picked. The wrong one, obviously. But,
well, you've probably heard the joke. The bad thing about making bread is it kneads so much.
Yes.
Oh, that's a bad joke. Anyway,
huh?
I want to mention again that if people want to find you, they can find you on Facebook. And actually, last night I posted a link to your Facebook page, which you can just click on the link and go from our Facebook page to Autumn Sky's page and check out her music. Go buy her single. You said it's only $1, and check out her new CD. And what big plans do you have, Autumn, for the new year? You got big plans for New Year's Eve?
None, actually. No plans at all. I usually kind of just wait until the last second and then go to whatever somebody invites me to at the last second.
That's me too. It's just like, okay, it's 7 p.m. New Year's Eve. Okay, now what am I gonna do?
Yeah, I'm a social person, but only if you ask me. Like, I kind of have to like be prodded to go out and do anything. As long as I get the invitation, then I'm coming.
There you go.
But if I don't get it, I'm gonna be watching Seinfeld.
I'm gonna play your another one of your songs is called Rockets as we sign off with you here. And is there a background story behind the song Rockets?
Yeah, Rockets is like, it's a very old song for me. I wrote it when I was 17. It's actually the first song I ever wrote that I liked. So it was like a very vindicating sort of feeling after I finished writing it. It's the song that actually... It went pretty back in the MySpace days about 7 years ago. On my Facebook page, or actually started with MySpace back then. Crazy. It was I think the song that got me the most recognition back then. It's pretty much the reason why anyone listens to me now. craziness. But hope you guys enjoy it. I did.
All right. Well, we'll play that as we say goodbye to you. And since it is New Year's coming up, I guess Rockets is a great song to end it with as the rockets and fireworks go off for New Year's Eve. And we hope you have a great 2013. Keep us posted as things progress. You're always welcome to come back on the show if you got some new music to share with our fans. And wish you the best. And I'm going to play your song and thank you for coming on this morning.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
All right, Happy New Year to you, everybody. This is Autumn Sky. The song is called Rockets. After the song, I'll come back. We'll close out the show, and everyone, we'll be right back.
In a cold apartment right next to my room, you just sit there quiet after I've warned you with the broom. There's a girl outside who's climbing to the roof. All your days are numbered, she calls out, and I believe it's true, cause there's desperation on this floor. And in cursed solitude you try and imagine there's more, cause that's a essential goal for everyone. In the sorry town that's drowning in its own aspiration, so give me truth, give me breath, give me something I can feel. And for the first time I'll be seeing something to believe. And give me rockets in me high, shoot me soaring through the sky. And let our conscience all be dreaming about something I'll believe in.
We appreciate Autumn coming on our show this morning, and also we'd like to thank Brian and Tonda and Laurie again for being on the show this morning and helping us out with our foodie fun and entertainment. I want to thank everyone for a great 2012. Our numbers continue to grow. We're getting noticed even in some news folks. I'll share some of that later, but things are moving along really well. We have a great 2013 plan with a lot of new guests that are scheduled to come on with monthly segments. Some people from Food Network and some other folks are in the works. So we thank everyone for a great 2012. We couldn't have done this without you. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell everybody about Green Ideas Radio. We hope that Hank Bob / Aaron will be back with us next week. Hopefully his back is feeling better. So, hey, partner, hang in there. And I don't know what you've been up to, but hang on and usher in 2013 with a better back. And everybody, I'm going to close out the show with actually an ad by one of our sponsors. And if you want to be a sponsor too, by the way, you can check with us, and we have great ways to be a sponsor. It doesn't cost much. In fact, we'll do it if you want to swap some products. We're always looking for sponsors for the show. And also, if you want to be on the show, if you have a talent, if you're in the food business, have a food product you want to introduce, just contact me, greenideas@earthlink.net, or at my radio page or the personal page on Facebook. You can contact us. We love to have you on. We're always looking for good talent and new food products. So on that note, I'm going to sign off. Everyone have a great New Year's. And we will see you next year in 2013. Take care, and everyone have a nice weekend.
Baxter's Original Premium Barbecue Supply, located at 115 10 Mile Road in Fitzgerald, is where you'll find all of your barbecue supplies in one place. They have competition-grade barbecue sauces, high-quality specialty rub. Baxter's is the home of Komodo Joe ceramic grills, which are better than the Big Green Egg. Shop online at www.baxtersoriginal.com or visit Baxter's Original Premium Barbecue Supply at 115 10 Mile Road or call 229-425-6583.
day. My baby told me she's still love, but she can't stay. She says friends are killer, she's half dead. I said, baby, please don't leave, I'll be back my feet again. Low cash blues, babe. I can't remember. I've been crying.